almost at the end of our questionnaire, Mr. Bergman, but we would like to know if there's any other information that you would like to add or anything that you feel that we haven't covered that you would care to contribute.
Well, this may be a little bit out of order, but I would like at least to make reference to my active interest and involvement in the World Affairs Council of Pittsburgh. I've been a board member and a vice president, and currently serving as a board member and vice president and member of the executive committee of the World Affairs Council of Pittsburgh. And I make reference to that because David Glick, my late law partner, was the president of the Foreign Policy Association. The change of name occurred sometime after David was the president of the Foreign Policy Association. When David died in April 1964, the World Affairs Council, through its leadership, Leland Hazard and John McCone and others, established the David Glick Memorial Award. And I've been the chairman of that program for many years, with some rotation between John McCone and myself. But that brings to mind too that when David died, the same group of people, with perhaps my personal interest, established the David Glick Memorial program, which serves to pay tribute to David as a Harvard Law School graduate and as a past president of the Allegheny County Bar Association. And it's timely to speak of that because we are planning a program on October 14th of this year with the Dean of Harvard Law School as our guest speaker. The program is planned always in cooperation with the Harvard Law School Association and the University of Pittsburgh Law School and the Law School of Duquesne University. I think perhaps I failed to make reference to my activity and interest in the United Jewish Federation. When I was a younger lawyer and served as the chairman of the lawyers division and was on the board of the United Jewish Federation and served as the chairman of the budgeting and planning committee. Some of these things go back a few years, and I only make reference to them because to the extent that somebody wants to look at these recordings for historical reasons, and I don't know whether they will or they won't, I don't want anyone to feel that I wasn't supportive, as I am now, of the United Jewish Federation and Jewish activities. Thank you. Well, I have enjoyed the privilege of membership in a variety of social clubs. By contrast, I never found either the time or the motivation to be an active social club officer or leader. I do not mean to apply by that, but I have any less respect for those who are officers and trustees of the Westmoreland Country Club and the Concordia Club and others in the Harvard Yale Princeton Club. I did not was not actively involved in the club, even though I am a member and joined when I first came out of law school, the old Westmoreland Country Club, which was then located in Verona. I been a member of the Standard Club for many years, too. And more recently, a member of the Good Things Club.
Can we get back a little bit to your personal life? We left you in Squirrel Hill. Your family was living in Squirrel Hill. That's Hallway Street.
Let me just quickly tell you that when we were first married, we enjoyed a sublease apartment in a Dittridge apartment on Dittridge Street. We shortly thereafter moved to the Hollander apartment on Whiteman Street. Our first child, Barbara, was born while we were still living at the Hollander house in Hollander apartment on Whiteman Street. And thereafter we moved to Northumberland Street in a double duplex right across from a little commercial area, drugstore, grocery store, and the fire engine house in the police station, number 11 police station. From Northumberland, we moved to Albemarle. I believe that was in 1941 or 2. And lived there until 1970. Then we moved to Devonshire Street, which is immediately next to the Rodeshawn Temple parking area, 803 Devonshire Street. Her children really grew up at 5411 Albemarle Avenue. While the house was a big, seemed to be big, too big for us when we moved there, which was Barbara and Susan were born about the time we moved. We continued to add to the house and enjoyed raising five children. And that's 5411 Albemarle residence. Two of our children, Helen and Jim, were still at home when we moved to Devonshire Street. The other three having married, we now talk about having 10 children rather than five because they're all married. And we have six grandchildren with a more recent addition. So we now have seven grandchildren.
While we're sitting here, as part of our normal procedure, we like to give somewhat of a description of the office, the place in which we are interviewing you. Would you like to do it for us?
I think I should speak about my family first.
All right.
The portrait that you see on the wall surrounded with bookshelves and books is one of my choice photographs of Selma. It's the back rack photograph taken in Washington, D.C. during one of our visits there to the American Law Institute meeting. Without any prior planning, we walked by the back rack studios and just on the spur of the moment, I said, would you like to walk in and sit for a portrait or a photograph? And that's the way it was taken. I learned for the first time that the back rack studios, while scattered throughout the country, is headquartered in Boston. Everything goes back to Boston. And I learned that because we had to go to Boston to make our selection and to see how this was done. I can't say too much about Selma because everybody that knows her loves her.
Wonderful lady.
And if I have nothing more to say, I want for record purposes to emphasize and re-emphasize how blessed I am. The rest of this variety of snapshots and photographs are of our children and their some of their respective spouses. We have one here of our youngest son who was married to McKee Winston of Norton, Virginia, 4 years ago, and that includes some of our grandchildren and some of our family. Some of the books that you may see scattered among the bookshelves simply reflect some of the interests of my profession. Model Business Corporation Act, estate planning, Canada here on estate planning,
ruling
laws and securities, and this one shelf that has most of my Harvard Directory volumes I use frequently because it's rare that I make a referral to any lawyer out of Pittsburgh without first checking to see if I have a classmate or a Harvard graduate that I would like to send it to. That's one of the many, but that's a very significant thing. We just being a Harvard Law School graduate, I find either classmates or graduates in almost every city, every state that I have any occasion to look for and refer a lawyer. I've already indicated that my two certificates are teaching from Harvard Law School and my data capture certificate. Now, on the other wall, opposite of the bookshelves, I prize the portrait of David Glick, who was my late law partner and past president of the Allegheny County Bar Association. And I think it's appropriate and, personally speaking, very important for me to record the inscription that David wrote in his own hand when he presented me with the portrait. It reads, "To Alan, loyal in another adversity, happy in another's success. Affectionately, David." To the right of the portrait are the original credentials written and typed in German that David received and used in connection with his involvement in relocating almost 100,000 Jews out of Nazi Germany, starting, I believe, in 1939. And I learned many years after I knew David that this story that was published in the Harvard Law Record about his involvement, he refused to talk about because it was so traumatic and difficult for him to recall. But he did tell me that with those credentials, he was able to negotiate with sitting across the desk or in the same room with Himmler and Goering and the leadership of the Nazi regime. Next to David on this same wall is a portrait of Felix Frankfurter, who was a professor at the Harvard Law School when David was there and when I was there. When Felix Frankfurter left the Harvard Law School, he was appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court. And David continued to keep in touch with him. David was the secretary of the class of 1924, and as secretary, he published a quinquennial of his class with notes that he would receive from members of his class and from the professors of the law school. He had virtually completed his eighth quinquennial shortly before he passed away, and in tribute to David, Pete Aaron, that's Marcus Aaron II, my nephew, Miles Berkman, who was a Harvard Law School graduate, and I published his eighth quinquennial, completed it, and published it in tribute to David. I was looking for one of those publications and I just found it. In addition to Pete Aaron, Miles Berkman, and myself, Bob Engel, who also was at Harvard, I think, for 1 year, and then for personal reasons, his father was not well, transferred from Harvard to the University of Pittsburgh Law School. But I see on this issue of the eighth quinquennial, a little fly leaf that speaks to the tribute that we paid David Glick, who I should add was born in 1995 and passed away in 1964. We used for this purpose too an editorial that appeared in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on April 21, 1964 as a tribute to David. Now, I'm now looking at the four Japanese prints on another wall in my office that we brought back from Tokyo when Selma and I and three of our children, Richard, Helen, and Jim, went to the Orient following an American Bar Association in the Harvard Law School program in Hawaii in 1967. And that gives my office a little color. I think it may be appropriate to say, too, that the walnut paneling in this office comes from the Union Trust Building out of their corporate trust offices. I have a great affinity for wood, and when we were doing some remodeling here on the 20th floor, which are the original Henry Clay Frick quarters. The architect, Dave Siegel, who was doing the work for the Frick Building and the Union Trust Building, knowing my interest in wood and wood paneling, brought this to my attention and was able to bring it over from the Union Trust Building, where they were tearing out some old offices, and used it in developing my office here.
The entire floor is interesting, isn't it?
Well, this, as I said, was Henry Clay Frick's private quarters. The Frick Building, constructed, I believe, in 1907, after Frick and Carnegie had some differences, and Carnegie started to construct the Carnegie Building, the location that now is improved by the Kauffman Annex. That Carnegie Building was the first steel-structured high-rise building, I'm told, in the country. The Frick Building was planned and designed as a landmark for Henry Clay Frick, who was equally successful as most Pittsburghers certainly know, as a coal and coke steel industrialist. We're told, and I think reliably so, that Mr. Frick either purchased or leased a standing Philippine mahogany forest, and either purchased or leased a quarry in someplace in Italy, and everything that came into this building was Philippine mahogany or Italian marble. And up until maybe 20 years ago, the building refused to allow any changes or individual decorating that was not consistent with the character of the building. And again, for historical purposes, it's good to know that when this building was constructed, the present lobby was really the basement. The hump, as the Pittsburghers generally referred to Grant Street and Fifth Avenue, was perhaps 20 or 25 feet higher than the existing level, so that the entrance into the Frick Building was where there now appears to be, or where there are now located, two bronze lions. And you go out on the Grand Street entrance, and you look up, you'll see on each side of that entranceway the bronze lion, and that was at the original street level. When they cut the hump down, they had to reestablish the lobby, the lower level, and you now walk down. Fifth Avenue is the Fifth Avenue entrance, the Fourth Avenue entrance are pretty much where it is.
And you have been here?
I came into the building when I came out of law school.
Up
on the 20th floor, we've been here since 1964. When David Glick passed away in 1964, and the Rosslander group came over to join with us in our present law firm in 1964, they were in the old Pittsburgh National Bank building, First National Bank building then, still identified as the First National Bank building. And they moved up here. We took half of the floor, which was then available, and the other half, a couple of years after the U.S. Steel subsidiary, the American Bridge Company, was
occupying this entire floor, and they moved out in two stages, and then left half of the vacant. We moved up here into that part, and they moved out after the 64-story office, U.S. Steel office building was completed. We took the other half. We now enjoy the full 20th floor, and almost the full 19th floor, and about a third of the 18th floor. We have about 54, 55 lawyers.
Very sizable law firm. How does it try to fit size-wise?
Well, for a while, I think we were probably in the top four or five. But all law firms have expanded in the last 5 or 10 years. And I think we're still maybe a fifth or sixth. I don't try to keep track of that, but because it's hard to know how the others have changed. We're certainly the top six law firms, number-wise. I would like to feel that we are in that same category of professionals, maybe even a notch or two above.
We'd certainly like to thank you, Mr. Burton. This has been a really interesting and delightful interview.
Well,
informative, and you've been very gracious.
It's really been very pleasant for me, and I must say it's afforded me a chance to reminisce a little bit with myself too, and to talk about experiences and a lot of fondness and affection. I don't like to feel that my age has come back, but you do begin to reflect a little bit about what you did and where you are, and I can't help but repeat that my real blessing is my family.
Very nice to hear. Thank you again.